I've given this sermon the title, A Prayer for God's People. So I'm going to read this to you. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. So as I planned to preach this Sunday, I felt a bit more pressure than I normally do, with this being my last sermon as minister of Ruddington Baptist Church. And initially I had to calm myself down a bit and remind myself of a few truths. The first truth is that this probably isn't my last sermon ever at Ruddington Baptist Church, because I hope at some point you'll invite me back to share with you again. And then secondly, that it's not about me, and so it doesn't really matter what I say, because it's about God. And I was reminded again of that passage of Jesus feeding the 5,000 and the little boy bringing the little that he had and God multiplying it. So I pray that God will do that again this morning. And the second thought that I gave, that it's not about me and that it doesn't really matter what I say, was confirmed by the passage that I've ended up choosing from Ephesians chapter 3, which reminds us that everything that we do is less about us and it's more about God. It's less about the strength we can muster up and it's more about the strength that we find in him. These verses from Ephesians fit quite nicely with the theme we've been exploring throughout the whole of this year of finding our strength in God. This has been rooted in our verse of the year from Ephesians chapter 6, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. And so today I want to come back to this theme as a reminder that our strength is not found in our own wisdom, our own abilities, our own successes and achievements, or in anything that we can do. But our strength is found in God and in who he is and the work that he wants to do in us and through us by his Spirit and in his love. I don't know about you, but this has been my story. So often when I have felt completely ill-equipped and completely overwhelmed by a task that I'm about to take on, these have been the times when God has worked through me more than I could imagine. 9 years ago, I arrived here as a 22-year-old boy, as some of you called me, fresh out of college. I'd had some training, but in reality, I had, and still have now, a lot to learn. I'd never led a church meeting, and I remember Derek saying to me after my first one, you did a great job, but you looked terrified. I'd never really visited someone in hospital as a pastoral visit, or visited someone on the death of a loved one. I'd never performed a funeral. I'd never performed a wedding or a marriage or a baptism. I'd never managed budgets, and I had to spend a bit of time with Mark Bairstow learning how to do that. I'd never worked with a leadership team. I'd never walked a couple through marriage preparation or dealt with any of the pastoral situations that would arise over a 9-year period. And me saying this is not me saying, look at me. Aren't I good? I did all of these things. Rather, this is me saying, looking back in amazement at the fact that with God strengthening me and sustaining me, all this has been made possible. And then I look back at the last 9 years for us as a church, and I see all the things that we've done together. And again, I'm reminded that everything we have done has not been made possible in our own strength. It's been made possible because of God's power at work within us. And that is true for the future as well. Everything that this church, everything that I am going to go on to do, can only be possible if we do it in God's strength and not our own. The reading from Ephesians 3 is a prayer written by Paul to the church that he's helped to establish in Ephesus. Having been involved in the formation of this church, he had moved on elsewhere and was writing back to encourage them, to remind them of some important principles of Christian living, and to let them know that they were always in his prayers. This has been a passage that has repeatedly come back to my mind throughout this year, partly due to our focus on God's strength, but also because it really connected with me and my own personal situation and with that of RBC. And that's why I've chosen this passage to speak on today. And I also think it's really nice that this passage is a prayer for God's people. It's a prayer I want to share and pray with my church family here at RBC. And it's a prayer that I ask for you to pray for me and my family as we move to Bristol. And so I want to take a bit of time going through this prayer, chunk by chunk, to see what Paul prays. And we're going to pray this prayer over each other later as we share communion together. So the first bit. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. There are two really important images in this verse. The first is Paul's submission to God. It says that he knelt before the Father as he prayed. The church in Ephesus would have seen Paul as this really significant person. He'd formed the church there. But before he prays anything for them, he says that he's going to kneel before the Father. He shows his humility and his own need for God. He doesn't seek to raise himself up, but to kneel in prayer, showing his own need for God's help and for God's strength. And then he paints another image of God's people as a family. He says, every family in heaven and on earth derives their name from God. He could be talking here about individual family units. This could also be a reference to the local church in Ephesus, saying that they are God's family in that place. And it could be a pointer to the worldwide church, that we as the church are God's family. Whichever way you want to read this, it says that every family comes from God. Before he prays, Paul doesn't just point to the need to kneel before God the Father, but to recognize that we are all children of God, that we are members of his family, and that's where our identity comes from above everything else, that we are children of God. And this would have been particularly significant for the people in Ephesus, where the majority of the church there were Gentiles. They may have been taught or told that they weren't God's real family because they weren't of Jewish heritage. But again, this is a reminder that Jesus said, there is no Jew or Gentile, no slave nor free, no male or female, for we are all one in Christ Jesus. We all belong to one family. We all share one common identity as beloved children of God. That is who we are. And I think Paul is modeling to the people reading this letter how they should approach God, that they should do that on their knees in prayer and submission, recognizing that God is their Father and they are his loved family, that their identity is found in him above everything else. And I suggest that this is also a reminder to us as we approach this prayer, as we worship and pray together and live out our faith as God's people, that the best place for us to be is on our knees before God in prayer, recognizing that our identity is found in our position in his family, that we belong to God, not because of anything we can do, but because of who we are, that we are his children and he loves us. And then there are three things that Paul prays for the church in Ephesus. The first is the bit in red on the screen. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. That God would strengthen them to the core of their being by his Holy Spirit and dwell in their hearts through faith. As I read this verse, I'm struck that Paul isn't praying for himself or praying that something good will happen for the Ephesians. He's not asking something simple like for them to find their keys or for them to do anything that will make them appear bigger or better or stronger. Rather, his focus is on who God is and what God can do in and through them. He doesn't pray that they will be strong in their own might, but that God will give them the strength that they need by the power of his Spirit. And his prayer isn't even that they would have the strength needed to do anything in particular. He doesn't pray that they would have the strength to preach the gospel or to save the lost or to change the world. Rather, he prays that they would have enough strength that Christ may dwell in their hearts through faith. He prays that God, by his Spirit, will give them the strength they need to have a living faith in Jesus, despite all of the challenges of the world around them. How often do we focus on our need to have the strength to do something in particular? God, give me the strength to get through this day at work or to go to this hospital appointment. These are valid prayers to pray. But this prayer of Paul's is so much more significant. God, strengthen your people so that Christ may dwell in their hearts through faith, no matter what life throws their way. And this came straight from Paul's own experience of persecution and imprisonment. That despite being a prisoner in chains, he was able to remain strong in his faith in Jesus. And in turn, that then impacted on the way he spoke, the way that he lived, and the way that he interacted with the world around him. And so this is a prayer that God's people, above all else, will be strong in their faith in Jesus. Then we have the second part of Paul's prayer. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. He prays that God's people would be rooted and established in love, that they may be able to understand the greatness of God's love that's so wide and deep and long and high that it surpasses all knowledge, that they would be so full of God's love that that love would overflow from them. Again, there are a couple of bits of this part of the prayer I want to pick out. The first is at the start of verse 18, where Paul prays that they may have the power to grasp the greatness of God's love. There's this sense that as well as needing to be strengthened in order to have faith, that it's only through the power of God that we're able to actually grasp how much we are loved. We need God's power and God's strength to grasp his love for us. Paul's prayer of strength of faith comes before his prayer about love. We need faith in order to know how much we are loved. In a world where there are so many distractions and messages that lead us away from God and from who we are in him, from our identity in him, and that lead us to question our worth, Paul prays that we would have the strength to know that we are loved beyond all understanding. This is what we read about in another passage from 1 John chapter 3, where it says, "See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are." as well as praying that we would have the power to grasp God's love for us. Verse 18 also prays that we would do that with all of God's people. And so there's something collective in this experience and knowledge of God's love. That the fullness of God's love for us is best encountered when we're living in relationship with others, as we worship together, as we encourage one another, as we pray for one another and care for each other. And so often this has struck me in my time here at RBC, in the welcome and support I received when I first joined the church, when Esther and I returned from honeymoon to find that our house had been decorated with balloons and banners. I think Ness might have been the culprit and Derek might have given her the key. On the birth of both of our girls, the church provided meals. And more recently, as we've sought to plan this move to Bristol, that's been a really stressful time. You've been an incredible support to us. And then as well, just in the everyday conversations and prayers and support that this church community offers, I can honestly say that my knowledge and understanding of God's love has grown by being part of this church community. And I'd like to think that many of you would say the same as well. So Paul's prayer is firstly that we would be strong in faith, and then that we would be strong in love, both individually and collectively. And then the final bit of this prayer. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. This final bit of the prayer prays that God will do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine, according to his power in us, and that his glory would be revealed in and through us. And this part of the prayer is written more as a final statement of faith rather than a request. Paul isn't asking for this. He's saying this is something that God is able to do. God is able to do immeasurably more, and his glory will be revealed. It's a much more sure and certain statement. The essence of this prayer is that as we, as children of God, are strengthened in faith and rooted, established, and overflowing with God's great love, then the only result possible is that God will do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine. And through that, that glory would be brought to his name. And so this was a prayer to the church in Ephesus, a prayer written thousands of years ago by Paul. He prayed it out of his desire to encourage them to focus on what is most important, on faith and on love. And he asked that God would give them the strength that they needed to do this. And this is a prayer for us today as God's people, wherever we find ourselves. That God will strengthen us in faith, that God would strengthen us in his love, that we would be rooted and established in love. And because of that, we will witness an abundant blessing of God doing immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine. And I ask that you pray this for me and for Esther and Megan and Eliza as we move to the next stage of our adventure in Bristol. That in our family life, in our work lives, in our local community and church and wherever else we find ourselves, that above all else, God would make us strong in faith and in love, and that the result of that is that he would do abundantly more than we can ask or imagine. And I want to pray the same for you here at Runton Baptist Church. And so, Lord God, I pray now for your family here in Ruddington, for these precious children of yours. Continue to strengthen them in faith. By your power, I pray that they will be rooted and established in love, and through that, your love would be full to overflowing. And I pray that the product of this strength of faith and love will be overwhelming, that they will see you do in and through them far more than all they can ask or imagine, and that your glory would be revealed. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.